This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Presentation on Thursday, August 1st at 6:30 p.m. An insider's account of Guantanamo will examine the illegality, immorality, and inhumanity of the U.S. Naval Detention Center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, with Stephen T. Wax, Chief Federal Public Defender for the District of Oregon, Laura Sandown, a U.S. Navy veteran who served at Guantanamo, and S. Brian Wilson, a longtime peace activist, among others. An insider's account of Guantanamo will take place at the First Unitarian Church, 1034 Southwest 13th Avenue in downtown Portland. Thursday, August 1st, doors open at 6:30 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock. Air Cascadia is off today. We are currently awaiting the verdict in the trial of Private First Class Bradley Manning, which is being announced at this hour. We are interrupting our regular broadcast to bring you a special program on the verdict. Joe Uris is in the studio. He will be talking about the verdict and taking your calls. Stay tuned.
Do you love listening to KBOO? Want to get involved in the great programming you hear? Become a volunteer. KBOO's volunteer orientation will be Tuesday, August 6th at 6 p.m., located at Southeast 8th and Ankeny in Portland. Questions can be directed to Ani at 503-231-8032, extension 213, or by email at volunteer@kboo.org.
Thank you. Hey, good morning. Good morning. This is KBOO 90.7, your FM dial, Portland, Oregon. This is Joe Uris, and a special report on the Bradley Manning case. We're momentarily expecting the verdict in his trial. And I want to do a little bit of information, background stuff on the WikiLeaks and all of that and what it all means for journalism in America. This is a very important case for a variety of reasons. And I'm going to be using sources such as the Truth Out and the papers from England. I think it's really important to understand the implications of all this. And I hope you'll stick around. The verdict will be momentary. I will interrupt my commentary and these reports to give you the verdict as soon as we get it. This is a very significant event. You may not know this, but over the past few years, it has become obvious that the Obama administration is trying to limit press freedom. It's done this in a number of ways, and the Bradley Manning case is the most famous such case. Manning, as you know, acknowledged having leaked to Julian Assange and others a huge trove, I would say, of privileged documents. And the paradigm that hasn't been established in the past, beginning actually going way back to the Vietnam War and the Pentagon Papers, is that once material is in the hands of the press, there is a public interest, overwhelming public interest, in publishing it. In the case of the Pentagon Papers, ironically, once the material had been duplicated and spread around within the press community, there was really no way to pull it back. You cannot unring a bell. And every attempt, including, by the way, Nixon's direction to his plumbers group to break into Daniel Ellsberg, who was the leaker's psychiatrist's office, in order to discredit Daniel Ellsberg, only backfired on the Nixon administration. But as you know, Bradley Manning has spent more than 3 years in prison, and 10.5 months of that were in solitary confinement. Now, people may not appreciate this, but try to imagine yourself in a locked, featureless room with limited access to light, limited access to... You literally can, in those circumstances, not know day from night. You can be in a situation where lights, very bright lights are on, where essentially torture, not physical pain, but torture of a psychological and in essence, physiological type is rendered on you. Now, the military is not known for its kindness in treating its prisoners. The government prosecution against Manning labeled him an anarchist and a traitor. This was last Thursday during closing arguments at Fort Meade, Maryland. At Fort Meade, Maryland, the press were experiencing an immense degree of security pressure. Armed guards were in the press room. People were not allowed to have their cell phones or their computers open. Everything had to be essentially limited, and it was an incredible case of pressure against journalists. Justice Denise Lind, the Army colonel, essentially refused to drop. She's the judge advocate in this case. She refused to drop the crucial charge of aiding the enemy on Thursday. And there's really no evidence that we understand that Manning was consciously or deliberately operating as an agent of a foreign power or had any intention in aiding enemies. The materials that were the materials that had gained so much attention included a video from Army helicopters, from helicopters that shot and killed journalists from Reuters, the British press agency, with harsh commentary by the shooters. It is clear that what Manning did was to reveal a variety of very important materials, important in the sense of something you should know and I should know and that everyone in the world needs to know about what American foreign policy is about. I'll give you a list of some of this stuff. In that case, the first revelation came in 2010 a video showing a U.S. helicopter crew laughing as they launched an airstrike killing a dozen people in Baghdad in July of 07. Including a photographer and a driver working for Reuters news agency. The footage was recorded at one of two Apache helicopters which were hunting for suspected insurgents. They encounter a group of men on the ground who do not immediately appear armed, and there is no sign of gunshots. But one helicopter crew, after checking with the authorities, I guess, opens fire with shouts from the crew of, "Ha, ha, ha, I hit him. Oh, yeah, look at those dead bastards." As the wounded are helped, one of the helicopters opens fire again with armor-piercing shells. The next trench of revelations came in July of 2010 with documents dating from 04 to 09 about the Afghan War. One set raised concerns in the U.S. by suggesting alleged support for the Taliban from Pakistan, particularly that the country's spy agency, the Inter Service Intelligence, the ISI, had been collaborating with the Taliban. Now, the U.S. had taken the position during that period of time that we were supporting the government of Pakistan, and there was no conflict of interest there. The Afghan files also included details of an incident from 07 in which U.S. Marines, escaping an attack outside the city of Jalalabad, fired their guns indiscriminately, killing 19 unarmed civilians and wounding 50 more. While the aftermath of the attack was plain to military authorities, the file suggested the incident was referred to in an official report only as the patrol returned JAF, that's Jalalabad, returned to Jalalabad airfield. In October 2010 came a series of revelations about events in Iraq. Chief among these was that U.S. authorities failed to investigate hundreds of reports of abuse, torture, rape, and even murder by Iraqi police and soldiers. The reports of abuse, often supported by medical evidence, described prisoners shackled, blindfolded, and hung by wrists or ankles, and subjected to whipping, punching, kicking, or electric shocks. Now, one of the things that, about the United States historically has been its denial of such cruelties and an assumption that we do good, they do bad. Another Iraqi-related revelation that the U.S. collated details of more than 100,000 people killed in Iraq following the invasion of the country, including more than 15,000 deaths that were previously unrecorded. The tally goes against previous protestations by the United States and the United Kingdom that there were any official statistics or that the deaths toll connected at all to the war. The largest and most explosive cache of material was revealed in November of 2010. More than 250,000 classified cables from U.S. embassies. Now, I want to emphasize, this is material leaked to the general press by Manning through the WikiLeaks system, shall we call it, from the U.S. embassies, carrying confidential and often blunt diplomatic assessments of U.S. allies and foes. One of the most dramatic of these showed that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia has repeatedly urged the U.S. to attack Iran to destroy its nuclear program. The Saudi monarch is recorded as saying, as having frequently exhorted the U.S. to attack Iran to put an end to its nuclear weapons program. Now, in context of the situation in the Middle East, remember that Saudi Arabia is a stronghold of very fundamentalist Sunni Islam, and that Iran is a stronghold of Shia Islam. And the two have never, ever not been at one form of war with each other. The embassy cables also said that the U.S. is running a secret intelligence campaign targeted by at the leadership of the United Nations, including Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and representatives from China, Russia, and France and the United Kingdom. The classified directives from 2009 demanded details about communication systems used by top U.N. officials, including passwords and personal encryptions used in official communications. So what the whistleblowing did, essentially, was to put out in a public context a great deal of what had previously been secret. Other cables painted a hugely unflattering U.S. view of Russia under the leadership of Putin, calling it a virtual mafia state in which officials, oligarchs, and organized crime are bound together by endemic corruption and personal enrichment. Now, these are the privileged cables of the American establishment, of the State Department, and of the embassies. And, of course, they did do enormous damage to relations between countries. Equally candid views of rampant government corruption in Afghanistan, including details of an incident in October of 2009 when the then Vice President Ahmed Zia Massoud was stopped and questioned in Dubai carrying $52 million in cash. On a more intimate note, but of particular interest in Britain, was a cable from Tatania Gwof, I'm sorry, the pronunciation is difficult for me, Gvela, Washington ambassador to Kyrgyzstan, who recounted an astonishingly candid and